Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's another fantastic day down here in Florida. Hope you guys enjoyed yesterday's show, when the detail on chemtrails with our guest speaker. And Dad, how are you doing today?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Got a lot of stuff to do today, and tomorrow we're going to have Robert David Steele on as a guest. The reason I'm bringing on several guests this week is that I really wanted to have a few more things gone over in detail than I normally cover. Robert David Steele is a former CIA operative. He actually worked for the CIA as an agent and is very, very well versed in the CIA and how it works, and very direct, very good guy. I've heard him on with Alex here the last few weeks. He's also on, he's coming on with Hodges this Saturday night. He was on with Hagman, so he's kind of making the rounds now, and people are really trying to figure out who he is. Now, one real quick thing I'm going to cover before we start talking about some of the other stuff that we talked about yesterday is that the son of Pablo Escobar has written a book, and he says that my father worked for the CIA, which, of course, we already knew that. Juan Pablo Escobar, the son of the most dangerous criminal in the history of the Colombia cartel, has written a new book on the life and death of his father, in which he said the drug trafficker worked with the CIA. In his book, he recounts the history of his father working for the CIA, selling cocaine to finance the fight against communism in Central America, if you want to believe that. There are names like George Soros, that was a Freudian slip, George Bush Sr., and many more, says Escobar. The drug business is very different from what you can might imagine. The CIA was buying control of the drug supply, going to each country and making huge profits. My father was simply a cog in their global drug trafficking network. When he no longer served them, they had him killed. Remember that Bush was head of the CIA in the administration of Richard Nixon. In his book, Pablo Escobar Infraganti, the son of Escobar, known until 2009 by the name of John Sebastian Matakin, reveals that the corruption stories that made his father so successful despite the violence in which he immersed Colombia. So, you know, then Juan now says that he's rejecting the idea of glamorizing the drug trafficking business as portrayed in series like Narcos or Netflix, which deal with the lives of the drug dealers and hitmen that work for his father. It's not true that the drug kingpin has riches, girls, and power. The more power my father had, the poorer that he lived, he said. So I want to promote that book to you guys and let you know about that. Now, yesterday, I said a few things on the air that I wanted to completely qualify and quantify today. I started it on Friday, and there's some things here I simply really don't want to talk about, but I feel as though I need to talk about. And so it's one of those deals that I'm not sure how to deal with this with you guys, but you guys all know me anyhow, so we're going to go ahead and just going to jump right into it and be done with it. Friday, I read the article by Chuck Baldwin live, and I'm going to repeat that to you again to give you a qualification of what's going on. And basically, in several previous columns, I'm going to read part of this. I'm going to paraphrase part of it. I've tried to warn you about Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. After being elected president, Mr. Trump elevated Jared, this is right after Chuck Baldwin stuff, to the position of personal presidential advisor. Of course, Jared is a radical Zionist who comes from one of the most corrupt Zionist families. Jared's father even served time in prison for corruption. Well, now we learn that Jared Kushner and the entire Kushner clan are financial partners with the notorious anti-freedom billionaire George Soros. According to Jewish Business News, which I looked it up and it does say this, it turns out that George Soros is the money behind a new real estate venture called Cadre, C-A-D-R-E, which was founded by Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. The real deal has uncovered the fact that George Soros was the man who approved Cadre with a $250 million line of credit. A source told the publication, Soros has a long and productive relationship with the Kushner family. Now, you ask me why I'm bringing this up, because this is not Donald Trump. This is Donald Trump's son-in-law. And that's actually a very good question, because I've been asked that repeatedly since I brought it up last week. The problem with all of this stuff is that Trump has selected him to be like his personal presidential advisor. And here's another article I wanted to bring up. And I'm not questioning that Donald Trump is being led by God to do what he's doing. But in some of these instances, I question whether he's making the right decisions or not. Now, I believe that God may have put him in this position, but it seems strange to me, because also, here's another article from Jess Haskins from last December, and it says, commentary, why is Trump choosing Soros and Democrat-connected Mnuchin to lead the Treasury? President-elect Donald Trump announced on Wednesday that Steve Mnuchin, the Trump campaign's national finance manager, chairman, will be his pick to lead the Treasury. Mnuchin worked 17 years for Goldman Sachs as the chief information officer. He left the company in 2002 to work for a friend's hedge fund, and then he basically moved on to become CEO of the George Soros-backed SFM Capital Management. After working for Soros for less than a year, he funded his own business, Dune Capital, with several former colleagues from Goldman Sachs. Now, you know, the reason I'm bringing all of this stuff up today is because I really went head on for George W. Bush when he replaced Bill Clinton in the White House. And I really believe that he was trying to do the best he could for the country. Now, I know George W. I've met him and I've spoken to him. And the problem is, he's very likable when you meet him, but you realize pretty quickly he's not the brightest bulb in the box. His wife's very nice also. I've met them both at a meeting that we had over at Southeastern University in Lakeland. Now, what's interesting about all of this is, George Bush was a member of Skull and Bones. And what they do at Skull and Bones is they put their inductees into an experience they call being born again, in which they actually are placed in a casket. Now, some people say they're placed in a casket with another man, and they have to perform acts on one another. Now, I don't know. I've never been in a casket, and I've never been in a casket with one of these guys, and I don't really know why they do weird stuff like that. But when they come out of the casket, they call that being born again. Now, what's interesting to me is when George Bush was asked back when he was running for president if he had, well, they were questioning him about his Christian beliefs, and finally he asked him, "Are you asking me if I've been born again?" And George Bush says, "Yes, I've been born again." Now, I don't know if that means, and what he was referring to was being born again through Skull and Bones, which I think that's probably what he meant, because his attitude and his actions as he was president, including bombing Iraq, you know, invading Iraq, you know, doing all the things that he did with Saddam Hussein, all the stuff that happened with 9/11, all the stuff we know that he went to Bohemian Grove. I mean, guys, let me put it to you this way. If I was invited to Bohemian Grove, you know, I might go there as an investigative reporter like Alex Jones did, but he wasn't invited. He had to sneak in. But I would never attend Bohemian Grove as an attendee to participate in the cremation of care ceremony and all of the homosexual activities they do there. I don't agree with any of that. Now, what's weird to me is this. I like Donald Trump. I think he's a great guy. I have multiple friends who knows him. But I've got to give you some more information now on Kushner. Kushner is also Jewish. We know that. And I'm going to get into some really, really strange stuff right now, because the Kushner Foundation has given a lot of money to a very, very radical sect of Judaism called Chabad, C-H-A-B-A-D. And I'm not talking about Trump now, I'm talking about Kushner. So I'm saying that Trump, if he's going to clean out the swamp, he needs to clean out the swamp and get the swamp out of the White House too. And it seems strange, but I'm going to read you an article right here from Forward, and it says the Kushner Foundation gives $342,000 to Chabad, and it says basically they're still surprised about Jerod and Ivanka's synagogue. Might seem odd for a modern Orthodox Jewish family to join a Chabad synagogue, but Ivanka Trump and her husband, Jared Kushner, are already quite invested in the ultra-Orthodox outreach movement, or to be more precise, his parents are. Now, what's interesting about this is I was curious about Chabad, and I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to look up Chabad, and I'm going to do some research on it. Now, one of the guys that I know who's a Jewish fellow, really nice guy, but he's left the Jewish faith, his name is Henry McCall. I interviewed him on Hagman's show. I've also interviewed him on the Power Hour. In fact, no, I could not interview him on the Power Hour. I was not allowed to bring him on. Now, I'm going to read you what he wrote. Now, remember, he's a former Jew. He's left the Jewish religion. He's a strong believer in God and Yahweh, but he's not a Christian. And here's one of the articles that's on his website about Chabad. He asked the question, is Chabad a racist, criminal, terrorist Jewish cult? He says that I can't remember all of this. This is too long. He says that basically this cult is very, very powerful, and it says they work with Israeli intelligence in criminal and intelligence operations, and they promote a supremacist ideology that encourages the Zionists to do dirty deeds. It was founded in the 1800s, 18th century Russia. So Shabbat is a branch of Hasidic Judaism, a form of Orthodox Judaism that promotes Jewish mysticism as a path to enlightenment. Shabbat attenders also study the Kabbalah, which, according to Mankow here, is the satanic creed that erases moral absolutes and believes that God is subjective. Also, the Kabbalah is what Madonna's involved in, and it's also a form of fallen, they also have a form of fallen angel worship in this. Now, you guys can do all you want to do as far as looking into this. Now, here's the problem I have with all of this. This is Trump's son-in-law. I got that. The father of Trump's grandkids with Ivanka. I got that. But what's he doing in the White House? I mean, I need to know that. I need to know what he's doing in the White House. I'm not picking on Trump, and I'm not saying Trump should, you know, is not going to do what he says he's going to do or anything else. But to me, it just seems very, very strange to me that this whole group now has been tied to Shabbat, and that we also have seen Munchen come in, who's tied to George Soros. We know the Kushner Foundation has given $342,000 to Shabbat. We know that basically Shabbat has been tied to Israeli intelligence, and he's the presidential advisor in the White House. So if this doesn't bother you, I'm okay with that. I mean, because you got to say, well, what does it have to do with Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump didn't borrow the money for the real estate development. It was his son who did it through Soros, and they apparently have worked many times with Soros. But remember, Donald Trump's son-in-law's father already had to be in prison for fraud. And I could read you more and more and more stuff about the involvement of Israeli intelligence with Shabab, but I'm not going to do that. You can look it up yourself. But I just wanted to kind of like, I'm not throwing up a red flag. I'm not even throwing up a warning flag. What I'm throwing up is a caution flag. And I'm kind of saying, hey guys, let's slow down for a minute. Let's see how this whole presidency goes with Trump, because I'm believing he's going to do what's right. Because quite frankly, guys, we all promoted him very, very heavily, but I told you even before the election, I did not trust him 100%. And I told you as he was picking people like Munchen, I did not agree with these picks. And I know that Chuck Baldwin didn't agree with these picks, and a lot of other people didn't agree with these picks. So the thing about it is, if you're going to clean out the swamp, you can't reinfest the swamp with the same type of swamp rats that are out of Goldman Sachs. Now, yep. Here's the deal. If I were to say that that Lucifer had an office in the United States, and that he was actually there, you know, in attendance in the office orchestrating events on this earthly realm, I would say that his office in the United States would be the headquarters of Goldman Sachs in New York City, probably on the penthouse suite. That's where I think Lucifer would have his office, kind of like that one movie with Al Pacino, you know, Devil's Advocate. And I've said this before, and I'm saying it again. Now, if he had another office, his main office would probably be down in Antarctica. Okay? I'm kidding you not about that one either. So we've got some really weird stuff. And so here's the thing we've got to understand. This satanic hierarchy that's involved with the pedophilia, this satanic hierarchy that the earth was given over to, this is like the oldest religion on the planet, because it started right there with Lucifer and the fallen angels right in the Garden of Eden. Because remember, Adam really wasn't given a religion by God. He was just walking in the cool of the garden with God, because they were like father and son. He was like raising Adam. So there really wasn't a need to put all of this religion into his life, because he was already walking with Yahweh. So the oldest religion as far as worshiping came with the worshiping of the snake, of Lucifer, Quetzalcoatl, whatever you want to call him. All of these different organizations, all the way through with Nimrod, all the way through with the Druids, all the way until now. This is what they do. There's an interdimensional entity group that has running this planet, has run it since the Garden of Eden, and they use our energy and our source of energy that we have here to feed themselves, and they live on low frequency vibrations like fear and hate and greed and bitterness. Remember, Jesus said perfect love casts out fear, and they were to walk in love and love one another. And that's the exact opposite of what they need. So they do everything they can to continue to promote this satanic hierarchy. Remember these Satan guys. the vast majority of them are not actually involved in, you know, human sacrificial worship. That's just the high levels of the hierarchy. But there are a lot of people that are Satanists that like to do things like the witches did last week with Trump and try to put curses on him. They try to change the fabric of time space by their incantations and the things that they do. But they're not really the true warlocks and the wizards. That's at the higher levels. But what these people do do is they're all self-absorbed. They're all absorbed by self. And whatever the, and what they believe is, do unto others before they do it unto you. And I know that's a twist on the old golden rule, but that's what they believe. They really believe they're hedonistic. If it feels good, do it. Forget about the consequences. Forget if it hurts somebody else. It makes no difference. That's basically their mantra. And that they, and they do everything by astrological signs, astrological events. Beltane Day is their highest holy holiday. That's when they like to put up these arches of Baal everywhere. Remember, they've done a lot of stuff with our words and how they played with us. Like, if you say, if you get locked up, you have to go post Baal, which is, again, Baal. That's what they're talking about. They use all of these different words. They're going to bail you out. And they train us to believe the lie and the symbolism that they use through the Illuminati, through the satanic hierarchy, through people like Miley Cyrus, who likes to ride around on a giant penis in her concerts and basically mess with her own private genitals there in front of everybody. I mean, these are some sick people, but this is what they do. These are the guys that sodomize and rape little boys and little girls. And at the highest levels of these hierarchies, they actually sacrifice these children to Lucifer to get stuff from him. This is what Ted Gunderson was so clear about as far as exposing back in the 90s, 20 years ago. And the reality is this. These are the guys that were involved in Pizzagate. These are the guys that were exposed a week before the election when the WikiLeaks came out. Podesta emails were gotten from Wiener, and they found that they were doing soul cooking parties, etc., along with a lot of other really compromising photos, apparently, of Hillary. And what ended up happening is they basically were told by somebody, apparently, down in Antarctica. And I'm not making this stuff up, because John Kerry ends up in Antarctica on election day, that Hillary was simply not going to be allowed to win the election. And they did not want to have their entire satanic agenda network exposed as far as for who and what it is. Remember, these guys operate in the secrets, in the dark places, in the shadows, at the nighttime, and the things that go bump in the night. They don't want somebody dropping a big floodlight on while they're doing their thing. This is why Jesus said that, you know, we should walk in light. And in goodness and in love and of peace and of honesty and integrity. That's what the Word of God tells us to do, not what they do. Because remember, they're the exact opposite of this. So these are the guys like Jared Kushner, and I am using his name now, who are involved in these satanic cults who worship and praise fallen angels with Kabbalah. If he's actually involved in that, I haven't seen him do that, but that's what they're known for, who are tied together with Israeli intelligence. Trump needs to be made aware of this. I've got this information out. I broke it on Hagman's show on Monday, Friday night after Chuck Baldwin broke it on his newsletter. And we really have got a couple of key people now who know Trump who are getting it to him. But again, remember, this is the father of his grandchildren. But isn't that just like how Lucifer does this? Isn't that just what the devil does? Doesn't he have a tendency to come at you through your family and through your friends and through your associations? Doesn't the Bible say that when you have bad, that bad company corrupts good character? Doesn't it say that in Proverbs? Yes, it does. And so here's the thing I've got to say for Donald Trump. We've got to continue to pray for Donald Trump. I believe he's a far, 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 far better choice than we would have had with Hillary Clinton. I believe he was like Robert David Steele's going to tell you tomorrow, because we prayed and all of this stuff was exposed last year. I believe that Donald Trump was the accidental president. I don't believe he ever thought he could win because it was all rigged. And so what ended up happening is because we prayed and this stuff got exposed, Trump came into office and he was unaware of all of these things that were going to happen around him. Now, whether or not he knows what Kushner believes, whether he knows what's going on with his grandchildren, whether he knows any of this stuff, I have no idea. All I know is this. Trump is still at arm's length away from this stuff. I'm not accusing him of anything, but he needs to be aware of the people around him. Ate, Brutus. You know, ate. You know, the Trojan horse as it comes into the camp. Are you kidding me? Do we have people that are Kabbalists in the White House who are involved with these types of people like Shabbat, who are funding them with huge amounts of money, and Trump thinks this is all okay or he doesn't know about it? So we need to pray that Trump gets fully exposed to all of this stuff that's going on, cleans out the swamp, and gets out, gets rid of these guys that have any hint of impropriety. The Bible says that, you know, we're not have a hint of sin. You know, as far as he speaks about, particularly about sexual sin. Because the truth of the matter is this. No appearance of evil is what the Word wants us to be. No appearance of evil. So when Trump does this kind of stuff and he brings people in like Munchen or Kushner and a plethora of others, he's got 22 CFR members now in the White House, which is why it never really seems to change from administration to administration. So we have to ask ourselves a question. If Trump knows about this, maybe he's just playing the game trying to stay alive. Maybe he's trying to gradually make the transitions that he needs to make. Maybe he needs to do all of this stuff. I don't know. All I know is this, and we did a whole show on it yesterday, we still have chemtrails. And I told you guys last year, we'll know if Trump's in charge if the chemtrails stop. This deep state to the Exchange Stability Fund that was set up in 1934 when the Rothschilds took over the Treasury basically is still in full control, and they've let Trump know that. They warned him, the CIA former head warned him to keep his mouth shut. Who talks to a sitting U.S. president like that? I mean, unbelievable, because these guys are drunken with power and with lust and Satanism and pedophile and pedophiles. I mean, they're sick. They're a bunch of perverts. So, guys, continue to pray for Trump. Pray for his discernment and his wisdom, and pray for his protection, because, guys, it's going to be an interesting 4 years. And right now they're working right now trying to do gerrymandering with their districts all over the country with the Democrats, trying to assure that he does not have an additional 4 years. What an unbelievable corrupt administration and government that we've got ourselves into. Guys, we've got to clean the swamp. And Austin, that's my opening statement, buddy. What's your first story?
All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's why it's more important now more than ever. I mean, I told you guys this last year. I said, you know, if he gets elected, which we were really praying that he would and that he did, and we have to be more aware than we even were before because of all the stuff that is happening now. And I told you guys that. I said, once he gets elected, this isn't going to be just, oh, Trump got elected now, everything's fixed, we can just go back to business as usual. Everybody has to start taking a more proactive approach to every single aspect of your lives and to everything that's going on. I talk all the time about the dangers of this automated digital currency that we're going into. And then probably in a week or so, I've got a lot of information. I want to do a show one day, at least part of a show, on essentially what's going to eventually happen when they start bringing down the electric grid or the cashless society and all that, and the steps you can take to keep a lot of things in hand and to protect your family perimeters, areas you're in, using the things around you. But that's for another day. The reason why I say that, though, is because if you guys heard, this wasn't on the news hardly at all, but this weekend, Barclays, which is a huge credit card company, completely shut down. And if you wanted a glimpse into the chaotic future of a cashless automated society, you just need to go look at what happened last weekend. The crash left many unable to access their funds and unable to use internet or telephone banking, and caused many cash machines to go down. Customers noted, when I read it online earlier, that their debit cards were declined even for small purchases like a 17-cent banana. Many took to social media to express frustration over the inability to withdraw money from ATMs or to even be able to pay for purchases around the world. Some reported being stranded because they cannot access funds to buy tickets to return home because they did not have any extra cash with them. Others expressed desperation of not being able to feed themselves or their family as their cards were declined at stores. Panic set in when Barclays admitted they had no idea how long it would take to fix the issue, even speculated it could take until Monday, which of course we know they fixed it earlier. The bank released a statement saying it was working to fix the problem and advised customers to use other banks' cash machines. It added that telephone, banking, and in-branch payments were also affected and apologized for any inconvenience. And what's wild, too, when 15 million people use Barclays cards, there is no doubt in my mind at all that this experience echoes the fears and concerns many still have about a completely cashless society. Becoming dependent on cards leaves all of us vulnerable to situations like this, and the increase of automation results in fewer bank branches where you can go to manually withdraw money from your account. Talked about in Australia, you know, over there, they're shutting down. Chase Bank or Citicard is shutting down hundreds of branches aren't even going to have physical people in them. They're only going to have digital ATM machines. That's happening all over the world now, guys. So this is something everybody has to be very, very aware of, because they're going to slowly and subtly begin to push this on us as much as they can, as fast as they can, as much as we'll take and not opposed to. And that's why it's so important that we constantly show a constant use of cash flow and not just being used on cards, going in and actually depositing your check. I know that's a foreign idea to most people now. Everybody almost has automatic deposits, and I got that. It's much more convenient. But if you have a hard check that somebody pays you, or you get one from somewhere, don't just take a photo of it and send it to the bank. All that's based on the digital server currency. Go in and actually physically deposit it. The more everybody does that, the more it shows a demand for hard currency still. Because I promise you guys, if everybody starts going this cashless society route, once the plug gets pulled and the entire economy implodes, which they will do whenever they feel like doing it, nobody will have any type of backup to rely on whatsoever, because everybody's going to be so used to not having any cash on them whatsoever. And Barclays on Saturday was a perfect example of that, Dad. So I just want to kind of address that again. I've been talking about that a lot lately, but it's because, in my opinion, it is a very, very serious problem that is starting to grow very aggressive, and not just this country, but in the world, Dad.
Well, they've already done it in England. They've already got rid of the 500 euro marks in Europe. Now they want to cut down. Now they don't want any more than $1,000 cash transaction in most of the countries over there. Guys, let me put it to you this way. This is not if this is going to happen. This is not if. This is when. Okay. This is what this is going to be, a win. And this is what they want to do. This is their big win. They have to do this. Number one, it's going to fulfill scripture. And number two, guys, I'm telling you right now, we are in the book of Revelation right now. The Pacific Ocean is dying. It's dead. It's huge amounts, just dead, dead, dead. I mean, it's like Dane said yesterday. The hurricanes are specifically designed by God to churn up the water and keep the water alive and keep the organisms alive and keep all the nutrients stirred around. I mean, when they stop the hurricanes in the Atlantic Ocean, it starts killing everything here. We already know that the Pacific Ocean is pretty much gone. I mean, it's done. We've talked about that repeatedly on this show, as far as all the wildlife and all the whales and all the salmon and everything that's been killed. So guys, here's the thing. You know, if we know they're going to do this, we got to continue to pray, and we got to do exactly what Austin said. We've got to use the cash as much as we can. Remember, India has already had this done to them. India has already had almost all of their cash taken away to a cashless society. There are over 1 billion people in India. I mean, it's 4 times the size of the United States, approximately. They've already done this. They've already beta tested it. They already know what to expect and what not to expect. The Indian people are very, very passive, and they kind of just tolerate it because there's a whole caste system there in which the untouchable still. They have no say-so about anything, and they're always poor, and they're always begging for money. So they don't have a whole bunch of people with guns over there about to set up a doggone revolutionary war because of the cash. If the Rothschild banking cartel, which owns almost all of the major corporations now in the United States, the same as they did in the Weimar Republic in the early 20s, 1920s, when they did all, if we knew, and see, they use cutouts or proxies like J.P. Morgan or Rockefeller or Soros. Then the reason they do that is if everything was Rothschild owns this and Rothschild owns that and Rothschild owns this and Rothschild owns that, and like everything that you tried to buy, Rothschild car dealership, Rothschild bank's the only bank out there, Rothschild this, Rothschild that, pretty soon everybody be having enough and being hanging Rothschilds. You know, we'll be hanging the bank. That's the truth. That's the truth.
Yep.
But they don't do it that way. They're smarter than that. They've done it that way before in the past, that, you know, one person will have their name out there, but they don't do that. They use cutouts or proxies to control all of this. Remember, when the Germans came in and started seizing the wealth of Europe, afterwards, when the Germans started buying the major corporations and the war was almost over with, they repartnered again with the international banking community to control everything with the Vatican. This whole thing is a big incestuous mess, is what it is. And remember this, guys. We've got to get rid of the central bank in the United States. It has to be nationalized. If it does not get nationalized, we are not going to drain the swamp, because of the ability to print money out of nothing, wire it into people's accounts, and basically give people huge bank accounts all over the world, Switzerland, wherever they want to have the money sent, as a big old pad for them for the rest of their life. Because, see, remember, people operate from greed. if they're not born again, if they're not a true Christian. And you know, a lot of Christians claim to be Christians because they like to manipulate people who are Christians. Now I'm going to say that again. A lot of people claim to be Christians, not because they are Christians, because they like to manipulate the sheep and the flock. I could give you a list, which I won't do, of TV evangelists that I don't even think they're saved. I know TV evangelists and TV evangelists who have passed on and gone to wherever they went to, which is, I don't think was heaven, who basically were homosexuals, who were greedy, who were tramps, who took drugs, who were alcoholics, who had people killed. And yes, I'm not making any of this stuff up. You guys have to remember, I had enough of all of it. I had a guy, his name was Ted Shuttlesford. He came to our church a few years ago, and he was actually a prophet, and he actually prophesied over me, and I've never shared this with you guys. And I actually have the tape of this. Someday I'm going to have to go ahead and play the whole tape for you, the CD. And he said, I don't know who you are. He goes, but he says, you know, I don't know if you're a minister. He says, I don't know what you are. He says, but the truth is, you know, God's used you. And he goes, but you've been behind the scenes, kind of like you've been like in the Holy of Holies. You've been behind the altar. You've gone and seen behind the scenes, and you could not believe what was going on, and you were very disappointed with what you saw. Now, that's paraphrasing that. But the reality is he nailed it dead on. I have been with some of the top evangelists that I will not tell you their names, and they're some of the most corrupt people I've ever met. I'm talking corrupt to the core. It's like I had a pastor over in Lakeland, a great friend of mine, good man. He left and went to Michigan because his grandkids were up there. And he left and brought another pastor in. It was from the Church of God. Brought another pastor. I go to a Baptist church now. It was from the Church of God. And this guy was a complete scoundrel. Then he brought in a TV evangelist that you'd see on TV. Everybody knows who he is. Absolute another scoundrel, just to fleece the flock. And I remember I called him up and I said, Pastor, I said, I have a real hard time with this. I said, you're supposed to be protecting the people in your church. And I said, why are you bringing this guy on? The guy into your church. I said, you know he's going to fleece your flock. And he goes, hey, Ted, here's how I look at it. Every so often, the sheep have to be sheared. Those were his words, quote unquote. And I said to him, I said, but not by somebody like this who's a liar and a thief and who's got an unbelievably bad reputation. I said, why would you bring this guy in? I said, you can count me out. I won't be back to the church, nor will I be giving any more money to the church. I'm out. See, this is how we all have to be. And see, we can't be going out and funding these TV evangelists with the money that we have when we have a local church that needs help that we attend. Now, if you're shut in and you can't get out and you have to watch church on Sunday morning and you want to send these guys some money, I don't have a problem with that. But be aware that they're in another state or another area, and if you have to have a pastor come to visit you, it's probably not going to happen. In the event, also, you've got to realize if somebody in your family dies and you have to have a funeral, they're not going to come either. So be very, very careful with this, because so many people operate this way and they want to make you believe that they're really genuine and they're good people. Guys, they're wolves masquerading as sheep, and you got to be so careful with them and be very, very cautious when they start asking you for large amounts of money or even continual amounts of money, because guys, you really kind of need to know what are they doing with the money. And here's my other thing that I always say, and I'm probably digging in some pretty deep water right now. If the church doesn't have open books and open finances, so you can't see where the money goes, you need to ask to see where the money goes if you're going to give a large amount of money. Let's say you're going to give $1,000 or something like that, and you want to kind of designate the offering and say, I want it to go to a certain place. If the church is not willing to do that, you kind of need to look at a different place, because a lot of times these guys are just, it's all about themselves. And I'm sorry I got off on all that, but I've been so frustrated the last couple of days dealing with some of the stuff in the news that I wanted to share that with you. By the way, new story. Deep state neuroscientists believe they can actually turn off free will. Here we go. Turn off free will. This is an article by Malkow. It says, neuroscientists have argued whether or not we even have free will, but now they want to turn it off. This is the Libet experiment back in the 80s. Scientist Benjamin Libet conducted an experiment. He discovered that what seemed to be free will, or the conscious choice to do or do not something, is really just the observance of something that has already happened. How about this? That completely rocked the foundations of what most thought of as a prerequisite for being a human and the long-held religious view that we have free will and it must be honored. Libet recorded people's brain waves as they made spontaneous finger movements while looking at a clock. The participants in the study were to tell researchers at the time in which they decided to wave their fingers. I won't read you the whole thing, but he said what they found is that this free will can be reprogrammed to eliminate free will by neuroscientists. This is a study that was published in the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences by researchers and scientists in Germany. And it's kind of crazy that it's amazing to me that these scientists are saying that they now have the ability to turn off free will and make you a robot. This is what this whole thing, so if they have this technology, we've talked about this so many times, if they have this technology to do this, if they have the ability to do this with neuroscience, how much easier is it going to be when they tie us together in their, into their frequency matrix with all the aluminum and the barium that we've inhaled and we've ingested that's been attached to our central nervous systems and into our brains. Guys, this is an insidious, insidious plot that's a fallen angel technology plot that they're using to do this to us every single day when we breathe chemtrails. That's why I said this yesterday. I'm going to say it again. If you're not taking our Chelex, our chelation therapy product, the oral chelation, you'd be taking that every single night before you go to bed. That's really, really important to help to bind up that aluminum out of your system and get it back out of your brain. Very, very important. But guys, now they're going after free will, and they're doing it with technology. How crazy is this, Austin?
Well, the AI, I mean, we've gone in detail before as far as how fast it's progressing, and that's just what they're letting us know they have. We're seeing that the, you know, the vehicles, the cashless society, the reduction of free will, all this stuff now is what they want to start doing with technology, and a lot of things can be done for good with technology. They can make things more efficient. They can make things more effective as far as the way they're done. They can save time. It's great. But the problem is, as we've always seen with science and artificial intelligence and all that, there is no cap. There's always another limit that is pushed to, and when that limit's reached, they push to another limit and another limit. And as you just said, I mean, that should shock everybody listening to this. I mean, the fact that they say now they can eliminate free will, because that, again, is starting to get right back to the thing we've talked about with mixing the AI with the human mind and the cyborg technology that they want to start implementing. That way they can use everybody as robots, very similar to what you guys saw in the Matrix. When he goes in that pod, he wakes up, he takes the blue pill, and he basically wakes up in the pod, and they're using them for batteries. Now, it's a very strange movie, it's a pretty wild movie, but that shows you, in my opinion, what a lot of the globalist, Satanist, AI-pushing goal is to basically use us as an energy source, and that's about all we're good for. Also, too, as we talked about with the autonomous vehicles are progressing faster and faster and faster. We met with the guys in Orlando we talked about that are trying to fight that, and it's something that nobody wants to stop it. They even said they spoke with the, the FDOT, Department of Transportation in Florida, and their response was, we're just getting out of the way. As far as in reference to the AI coming through with autonomous vehicles, they're trying to push this and they're trying to roll it down as fast as possible. So when they get everything rolling, they're going to get a lot of the masses that are already dumbed down on vaccines and fluoride that really don't know what's going on to automatically enroll in a lot of these programs to turn into these half human, half cyborg, whatever you want to call it, AI technology. Also, too, another health news. A new analysis published in JAMA suggests it might be time to take a closer look at the medicines a lot of elderly people are taking. This is particularly true when it comes to psychiatric drugs. The numbers of Americans of retirement age who take at least three psychiatric drugs has jumped 200% between 2004 and 2013. While this is concerning enough on its own, the fact that almost half of these people did not have a single mental health related diagnosis on record, making this even more concerning. And what they found here now is that doctors are being caught numerous occasions over prescribing drugs to older people as profits are overtaking ethics. The analysis looked at data taken from doctors visited by people aged 65 or older who were prescribed at least 3 psychiatric or pain medications. These visits increased by nearly 150% during the time period studied, the bulk of it being attributed to the increase in prescribing multiple medications at the same time, despite warnings issued by federal health officials that combined sedatives with strong painkillers like opiates is extremely dangerous. Those older people who take opiates are still as likely to take 2 or more other drugs as those who do not take painkillers. Last year's revealed that slightly more than half of the antidepressant prescriptions written in the last 10 years in Canada were just for depression. Aggressive marketing used by Big Pharma is really what's starting to push this now. As I told you guys before, I don't watch much TV, but I have definitely noticed in the last couple years when I've been at people's houses or the television's on for something that the pharmaceutical ads is literally gone through the roof. If you timed it, which I did one day when there was a movie on at a friend's house, it was like on average between every 3 to 7 commercials was a pharmaceutical drug. Pretty much every commercial interruption between the movie had at least 1 pharmaceutical advertisement on it. And that was just me watching it. That wasn't even any type of legitimate study. That was just me observing it and taking notes in my head. So if I picked up on that, and that was just a minor amount of television that I watched at that time, you see that it's happening more and more and more. Big Pharma has seen that the threshold for diseases like high blood pressure has fallen dramatically, so that more people will need meds, while those who don't make the cut can be diagnosed for things like pre-hypertension or pre-diabetes or pre-high cholesterol, while those who, you know, don't even need anything are being put on meds just because they're using the term pre, completely ignoring the fact that good diet and exercise can help improve this condition dramatically. I talked about this a year and a half ago. The statin drugs, they were lowering again as far as now they were saying if you even have healthy cholesterol, we still think we need to put you on a mild statin drug as a preventative measure in the event that you could possibly get high cholesterol in the future. That is some of the stupidest ideology you can ever come up with, and the fact that doctors are actually pushing that boggles my mind. That is like saying, well, you may get in a car accident and break your collarbone one day, so we're just going to put you on Oxycontin right now. In the event that you do get in an accident, it won't hurt as bad once you break your collarbone. That's the same ideology these guys are using now. You have the ability to maybe have pre-hypertension. You may have high blood pressure in the future, so we need to put you on high blood pressure medications. That's what they're doing with a lot of these elderly people now. That's why it spiked almost 200% in the last 10 years, because that's exactly what they do to these guys, and a lot of them don't know any better, Dad. That's why we do the best we can at Health Masters to really promote a natural approach here with natural supplements. We can't give a lot of medical advice, so if you are trying to come off medications, you need to discuss that with your doctor. But again, preventative measure is always the best strategy, trying to take care of yourself before you start getting on half a dozen or more medications that then you have to try and come off of.
Okay. Man, gosh, that was good. Okay, here's the thing. I'm 61. I don't take any drugs. Every once in a while, if I pull my back and I work out too hard, I may take an aspirin or an ibuprofen, and that's rare. That's it. That's my big forge into the medical world. Now, here's what the thing about this is, I'm 61 years old and I'm really awake. I mean, like ridiculously awake. Like sometimes I wish I wasn't this awake. My brain works great. I actually feel like I'm 20 years old. My brain works like I'm still 20 in college. And what's interesting is I know what's going on, and I know what Mayberry used to be. Now, what does that mean? I know what it was like back in the 50s and 60s in the United States, and how incredibly moral of a society that we had, and how you could leave your doors unlocked at night, and you didn't have to walk around with a gun. You didn't have to answer the front door with a gun. You didn't have to keep your houses locked up for fear of people robbing you. You didn't have to worry about walking through a mall parking lot without fear of being robbed. I remember what it was like not having any of those, and realizing that Mayberry was a pretty cool place to live. But here's the thing. I remember what Mayberry was. And people that are older than me, or even 50 years old and up, still remember what Mayberry was. Here's the problem. They don't want us to remember what Mayberry was. And the quickest way to make people have senile dementia is to drug them into a senile dimensional stupor. That's what it's all about. They want you to walk quietly down the hallway of senile dementia until you no longer know who or what you are and you don't have any of those memories anymore. That's the goal. Because if the 60-plus year olds go to sleep in this country, which they're doing very, very quickly by the millions right now as far as with drugs,
yep.
And they're even with sleeping pills and all the other crazy things they use, what's happening is this. They're losing their long-term memories. They're losing their ability to be lucid. They're losing their ability to be acute. And when that happens, they lose their ability to protest, because as long as they're getting the drugs through Medicare or Medicaid, they're happy because I've got a drug problem. Now I've become the victim. I remember John Rappaport was on with us, I guess it was last year, and he said that. It's the victim status. It's the victim mentality. When they can make you a victim, then you no longer fight against the system. Don't you know I've got a bad back? Don't you know that I've got headaches? Don't you know that I've got endometriosis? Oh, don't you know that I've got Parkinson's disease? Oh, don't you know that I've got cancer or heart, high blood pressure or depression or whatever? Oh, don't you know I've got all these diseases? I can't be concerned about what Donald Trump is doing or what the world's happening. I've got to take care of myself. That's the goal. That's the goal. And then plus they can tie up the people that are 60 plus with their kids. It's filming the nursing homes by the time they're 65 or 70 years old, which a lot of people are in nursing homes with this age, by the way. Then at that point in time, then they can make the kids have to visit the parents, et cetera, et cetera. But it takes the entire awake generation that we have and makes them go to sleep. That's the primary goal of the drugs for the elderly, along with the massive amounts of profits. Because remember, when a person's on Medicaid or Medicare and they're elderly and they're being paid for by the government has to put out tens of hundreds of billions of dollars a year to these drug manufacturers to keep these people medicated. Always remember, the Rothschild banking cartel probably owns the vast majority of, if not controlling interests, of the entire Fortune 500 corporations in the United States through their interlocking corporate directorships and stock purchases. Always remember that. These guys are the same guys. So it's Rothschild's GMC, Rothschild's Chevrolet, it's Rothschild Ford Motor Company, it's Rothschild Monsanto, it's Rothschild SunTrust, it's Rothschild Banking. No, if it was that, we would have already hung these thieves. They would have already been hung. But that's what we have. So we have to get rid of that giant octopus, that giant vampire squid that's sucking the life out of the United States. Speaking of giant vampire squids, Pope Francis exposed quietly that letting pedophile priests off with little or no punishment is okay with him. In 2014, this Jesuit admitted that about 2% or 1 in 50 Roman Catholic priests are pedophiles. That's a complete lie. It's closer to 50%. It's up to 50% in some areas. He then promised solutions to the history of the church. They've paid out billions of dollars for these guys sodomizing little boys and covering it up. He then promised solutions to the history of the church, essentially condoning the horrid practice. However, it appears that the solution is to sweep it under the rug. Here you go. Here you go. According to a report out of the AP, Pope Francis has quietly reduced sanctions against a handful of pedophile priests, applying his vision of a merciful church to allow these young priests to go out and continue to sodomize young boys to the best of their ability. I added that. Unbelievable. One of the child molesting priests given clemency by the Pope was later arrested and sentenced to more than 4 years in jail for abusing multiple boys aged 12 through 6. I mean, this is unbelievable that we have a Jesuit Catholic priest, number one. That's number one. Because I'm not a Catholic, but this guy's a Jesuit, which is like the military branch of the Catholic priests. And we have all of these Catholic priests that have blown whistles on these guys, and nothing ever happens to them as far as the guys that like to sodomize little boys. Guys, here's the thing. If you believe you're a man of God, you really do, what the heck's wrong with your wiring? What are you screwed up in the brain? If you've got an urge to go screw a little boy, why don't you drop the priesthood, get out of that doggone robe, and walk away from that calling that you think that God put you there? Or is that just something you did so you could sodomize young boys? Are you one of those weirdos? Guys, I've had enough of this mess with the Catholic Church. They need to clean up their own house, and they need to stop being sanctimonious and pious to us, telling us how they have all of the answers as far as what we should do, and they're trying to push that big ecumenical movement to put us all back under the Vatican, all back under the Vatican, all under one world church blanket, all back into feudalism, so they can keep taking all of our stuff and just make the elite richer and give them unfettered privileges and access to all of the young boys they want to sodomize. A bunch of sickos. You guys are a bunch of weirdos. And I can't stand you guys, and I'm trying my best not to use a bad word. So I'm going to change that subject. Dawson, what's your next story?
Yeah, well, the liberals have had absolutely zero response on this recently about our United States immigration. You know how they love to interject their meaningless opinion that has no fact basis behind it whatsoever when something happens. Well, they've been pretty much dead silent on this one just days after the Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy, who's a blithering idiot in my opinion. He's the same one that supported the assault weapon ban, the so-called assault weapon ban that basically made AR-15s and high-capacity magazines illegal. That Governor Malloy, he ordered police in the state of Connecticut to not cooperate with ICE enforcement immigration laws whatsoever. He gave them a standing order, do not cooperate with ICE. Just days after that happened, a deported illegal alien, previously deported twice, convicted felon, fatally stabbed a woman and abducted her six-year-old daughter from a Bridgeport home. Though the child did not suffer any significant physical injuries, police said later on that her 26-year-old mother was dead, and another woman, who believed to be her friend, was stabbed repeatedly in the home as well, but was in critical condition. Oscar Obedio Hernandez, age 39, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office confirmed late Friday that Hernandez, a citizen of El Salvador, was issued another final order of removal by immigration judge on October 2013. He was directly moved from the United States by ICE officers from the last time, supposedly, on November 27th. They stated, ICE stated, he's had prior felony convictions from 2002 for assault with a deadly weapon, threatening, as well as several misdemeanor convictions. ICE has placed an immigration detainer with the Bridgeport Police Department. But, however, that didn't stop the governor ordering law enforcement to stand down from enforcing our nation's immigration laws last week, a few days before this individual went on his little spree. A lot of people don't realize is El Salvador has one of the highest murder rates in the world. It is also one of the main countries that the MS-13 gang operates out of. So why this blithering idiot, Governor Daniel Malloy, was trying to be a good little liberal and tell ICE not to, or basically the local law enforcement, not to cooperate with ICE, this El Salvadorian murder was still in the United States and could have, and I'm speculating, could have possibly been removed by ICE if local law enforcement would have been able to cooperate with ICE. Of course, I don't know that for a fact, but again, when you see stuff like this happen, it just goes to show you the liberal ignorance knows no bounds when it comes to these immigration laws. So I really, really hope we can get a lot of this under control. The problem is that, as we have seen, we're getting a significant amount of opposition from the mainstream media and from the leftists, especially, that are the judges in these courts, that they do not want this to stop. This is the goal, the same thing they've done to Europe. They want to bring in as many immigrants that are illegal, that are felons, that are violent, that are Islamic, that want to completely change this country for the worst, and they want to let them pour through our borders as quickly as possible. That way, the fall of the United States will be primarily internal, and a standing army will not have to ever invade this country. In my opinion, that is the plan A for the globalists, and one of the most effective ways to do so, I might add.
Well, the Federal Society, we've talked about it many times under Newt Gingrich's watch back in the 90s, was once responsible for all of this and stacking the courts with all these whacked-out liberals. Here's an article by Frosty Wooldridge. This is with News with Views. He says, as we regular Americans drive off to work each day, our U.S. Congress, loaded with our elected officials, I'll add our corrupt elected officials, continues to practice foisted into the American taxpayers since 65, endless importation of millions of legal and illegal immigrants to the tune of 100,000 every month, every 30 days. Once they arrive, they displace jobs from our working poor, or they move into the welfare rolls for housing, medical, food, education, and transportation. Most carry very little education, skills, or first world abilities to function in our annual and society. Annual cost, immigrants and welfare, $13 billion. Unbelievable. Since 1965, listen to this, when we featured 194 million people, back when I was a little kid, and since we chose two children or less per woman to create a sustainable society, our Congress created a living nightmare manifesting faster at the exponential growth factor than anyone could have ever imagined. Now we've reached over 300 million. Well, actually, we're about 320 million. That's why we face 438 million by 2050. And we're almost at, you know, and these are the real numbers. First of all, Congress imports 83,000 legal immigrants into the United States every 30 days. Unbelievable. Okay, through since 1965 with the Immigration Reform Act. So we are pumping these guys in like we've got a 12-inch fire hose at about 1,000 PSI of pressure, Austin, bringing them in, bringing them in, bringing them in, bringing them in. Yep. You're absolutely right. This is a major problem. Here's another article by Alton, and she's talking about aspartame causes death. FDA says we must depopulate, says the activist. I mean, unbelievable what's going on with aspartame. Over 60 million people still use it every single day. Brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation, memory losses, depression, all of this directly attributable to aspartame. Guys, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting all your other vitamins from us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for praying for us. We appreciate you guys. Robert David Steele is going to be the guest tomorrow. We're going to have a blast with him. God bless you. I appreciate you. We love you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Austin, it's all yours.
Yep, and the product of the week looks like it's going to be changing over in the morning to the joint rebuilding formula, unless there's some other change in votes, but the joint rebuilding formula has been blowing up. So tonight is the last night to grab the magnesium body balm. If you guys want to try that, the joint rebuilding formula looks like it will be changing over in the morning. So check that out. We'll do a little, see what kind of promo we can do for you guys. I know a lot of you guys really love that product, so we're going to try and take care of everybody. Maybe do a little video too. And yeah, we appreciate everything, guys. As everything's changing around us, you know, we're trying to bring you guys the best, highest quality nutrients that we can find, and also, too, the cleanest news that we can find as far as real news, not fake news, the stuff that the alternative media really needs to be bringing up and that the mainstream fake media refuses to address. So we appreciate all the support, guys. All the emails we've gotten over the weekend have been phenomenal. You guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.